Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We welcome in at this time from the Action Network. Jeff Schwartz joins us here as he does every Friday at 9 o'clock here on the Fan Morning Show. Jeff, good morning. How you doing?
Good. How are you guys?
We are great. It just keeps happening. AB news here in Pittsburgh, Antonio Brown, and yesterday was the latest. I want to outline a scenario for you as an NFL vet and want to know how you would handle this. You ready? Listen intently here. So, because it's long and convoluted. So Art Rooney II came out yesterday and he says, as part of what he had said, he wants to have maybe some of the team leaders and sit down and talk with them. And perhaps this meeting would involve Antonio Brown. Let's say that Antonio Brown walks into this meeting and says, you know what, guys, I have a change of heart. Don't trade me. I want to stay here in Pittsburgh. Let's say that Jeff Schwartz is DeCastro or he's Pouncey or he's Roethlisberger. What would you look at Antonio Brown and say, this needs to change if you want to keep being a part of our team? Or would you even want him back?
Well, I would probably not think he's going to change who he is. The question is, can you deal with it, right? I think it would be very tough for me to think that he's all of a sudden not going to complain about getting the ball or be upset that he's not the guy or things don't go well, whatever else he's doing, right? I mean, that's what wide receivers do typically, so that's nothing that would be unique to just Antonio Brown, really. So the question is how much strain is it putting in the locker room? And I wouldn't believe he would change it. But, again, it comes back to your personal preference. Do you think it's ruining – do you think it's hurting the locker room? Or do you think it's hurting the team's ability to win football games? I'm not sure it is, honestly. But you never want a guy who doesn't want to be there, obviously, on your team. So that'd be a difficult conversation to have, especially if Antonio Brown is there. That might make things worse if he is in that meeting. I would probably advise them not to have a meeting with Antonio Brown originally. Maybe you talk to the veterans say, hey, we want this guy here. Let's work it out. But then you have a second meeting with the veterans, including Antonio Brown in that meeting.
Jeff, you were with the Giants when Odell Beckham was there, but I don't know if he was yet the Odell. You know, like he's like Antonio Brown is now. Was he like that? What was it? But was it ever – did you ever have to deal with some of the stuff that it looks like the Steelers are dealing with AB?
No, he was never a problem off the field. He's beloved in the locker room. That's the thing about Odell I keep trying to tell people is, he proposes to a kicking tee and he does that dog celebration and he has some weird answers on the sidelines, but – he's not at all like that in the locker room. And that's why there's never any word that the Giants really want to trade him or seriously consider trading him or with any drama in the locker room. We had losing seasons in New York. We've had losing seasons, and Odell's never acted up, right? We've never heard any stories about him in the locker room having issues with guys. So Odell is not that type of guy to where I think we'll ever find out that there's issues in the locker room with him and any teammates or the ownership of the coaches.
Jeff Schwartz, Action Network, joining us here on the Fan Morning Show. Follow us on Twitter at 937TheFan, driven by Shorkey Chrysler Dodge. Jeep Ram, locations in North Huntington and North Hills. Is Antonio Brown I don't think he'll be back, and that's probably the safe money, it seems like, with a lot of people right now. But is he careful what he wishes for? Now, granted, he's an otherworldly talent. He's going to go catch a bunch of balls. But will he ever have the team success and ever have the quarterback throwing to him that he had here in Pittsburgh if he goes somewhere else?
Probably not. I mean, yeah, I guess it is. I guess you can say, yeah, this is what, be careful what you wish for. It's probably accurate in this statement because, what if he goes? I would not think the Steelers are going to trade him somewhere where he's going to want to go. I mean, why would you give in to his demands? And that might not be the best pick. What if, what if the Raiders, ask for him? They have a lot of first-round draft picks. They go ahead and trade for him. I mean, yeah, you're going to Oakland, but John Gruden has not proven to really do very much yet, and he might eventually be there. And you're now moving to this year. You have to play. They don't have a home this year, and then you're going to Vegas. I mean, that doesn't seem like that. Oakland does not seem like a desirable destination to be. So he might go somewhere where the quarterback is not Big Ben, and there's no tradition of winning, and Was he around for the last Super Bowl? No, right? For the Steelers one? I don't think he was, right? So he doesn't have a ring. I'd be careful what you wish for.
What is he worth on the open market, and how much does this off-field stuff and being difficult to handle weigh into that?
I'm not probably the best person to ask about this because I don't think wide receivers and running backs are worth as much as I think the public thinks they are. I mean, I think the Steelers will be fine without him next year. They'll have Juju. They might draft another wide receiver, which they've been outstanding at getting these guys in the draft. I think they'll be fine. I mean, you know, if you look at, let's say the Jets, okay? Yeah, if they had Antonio Brown, yeah, they'd be a lot better. They don't have any other weapon. They'd be fantastic if they added him. Would it make Sam Darnold that much better? I don't know. I feel like coaching would make Sam Darnold that much better. Being in Adam Gase's system will make him that much better. Having Antonio Brown would obviously be helpful, but I think the system is what matters more than the wide receiver. And we see, Tom Brady forever has done it. You know, his best season was with Randy Moss. They didn't win the Super Bowl that year. He's done it forever with guys that we would consider to be top echelon wide receivers. So I think the wide receivers matter a little bit, but I don't know. I mean, have you ever thought to yourself in any Super Bowl, and actually probably using the Steelers as a bad example because Santonio Holmes caught that pass in the back of the end zone to win the last Super Bowl, but like you just never think, oh, a team won this Super Bowl because of X wide receiver. You must never think that, right? Eagles last year didn't win because of a wide receiver. Patriots year before did not win because of a wide receiver. Broncos year before did not win because of a wide receiver, right? I mean, you never really say that. So I just don't know how valuable they are.
Well, the Steelers won that Super Bowl, Jeff, because James Harrison ran 100 yards just before halftime.
Well, that's also true. By the way, that Instagram thing never happened, right, between Harrison and AB. He got vetoed by his agent, right, something like that?
Yeah, Drew Rosenhaus actually had some sense and stepped in and knocked that aside it aired.
Yeah, you know, as much as Drew gets knocked, I mean, he's not, and this is what I never understood about, like, Le'Veon Bell's agent going on Sirius all the time and defending his client. Like, Drew Rosenhaus doesn't at least do stuff like that, which is good.
Oh, absolutely.
At least since Terrell Owens was doing push-ups in the driveway. But
we talked to Jeff Schwartz, Action Network, here on the Fan Morning Show. I do want to ask you about these playoffs, though. Somebody pushed forward this notion. I saw this story today, and I just glossed through it. I didn't have a whole lot of time to read the whole thing. They said if the AFC quarterbacks left, that they have the guy who's playing the guy who has the least amount of heat right now, that's playing the worst right now, is Tom Brady. Is that crazy?
No, it's probably accurate.
I know. Isn't that nuts?
He's been atrocious. He's been atrocious, especially throwing the ball downfield this year. I mean, he's missed at times over the middle of the field, and you're just like wow. And that it's shocking. And you look at his numbers, like he's up there with Josh Allen for like completion percentage down the field. he's been that poor. But it's the playoffs. It's Tom Brady. It's the Patriots at home. I mean, I don't know how you count them. Everyone's betting the Chargers. I have not. I bet the Patriots. I'm going to go against conventional wisdom. So how about this? Fine folks at Action Network have brought this up, and it's interesting going in this weekend. So when the Patriots are getting less than 40% of tickets, so 40%, less than 40% of people gambling on them since 2003, they're 8-0-2 with Tom Brady as their starter against the spread, right? It's covering by at least 9 points. Chargers, by the way, when they're playing against the Patriots, when it's Philip Rivers against the Patriots, they are 2-6 against the spread. So everything kind of points to New England covering this game. It's pretty wild. No one's betting on New England. I am. Look, the Chargers last week, I know you guys hate New England, but the Chargers
last week, it's just that my bets are dead. I bet the L.A. parlay. I bet both L.A. teams. And then I'm dead. And then I bet the Indy and Kansas City under.
The under there is interesting because of the weather.
It was 57 and Mahomes, I think. It was 57.5 here in Pittsburgh at the book.
But it doesn't appear that it's going to snow during the game, I think, per the forecast. I will say this about that game. The bet I made is, because my brother plays for the Chiefs, I kind of want to stay away from betting a side here. I bet the Colts over 26 points. I feel like the Chiefs, I know people will say the Chiefs have played defense well at home this year, and they have. But the one offense they faced that was good all year was the Chargers. They allowed 29 points at home. The rest of the offenses they faced were like bottom 15 offenses. I mean, Bengals, Jaguars, Raiders, Broncos, Ravens. The offense were not any good. The Colts come in there feeling pretty good about themselves with that offensive line. So, yeah, the under there, I bet the under in the Patriots and Chargers game because of the weather there too. But it just feels like a low-scoring game, like a 24-17 kind of win for the Patriots. Patriots there.
What do you do with that? And Indianapolis and Kansas City is kind of like this as well. You got a team like Philadelphia that's on a, you know, they've had to win for I don't know how many weeks in a row to get to where they got, and then you got New Orleans, which has been the best team in the league over the balance of the season, and it's a big number. With I'm looking at 8 right now. New Orleans favored by 8 points. You go with a hot team, or do you go with a team that's done it over the course of a season?
This game, I think it goes. I kind of think the Eagles. I mean, the Saints are going to blow them out, so you know the Eagles don't cover, or the Eagles win outright. I mean, we've seen a lot in the playoffs, by the way, that it almost makes sense to just bet the money line on these underdogs. I mean, a lot of these underdogs just winning outright. They're not really covering. Covering these games, well, they are covering, I should say, but they're also winning outright. So another bet I like in this game, because the line just feels wonky to me. 8 points, 9 points, a lot of points in a game, plus the Eagles are playing hot. I like the Saints over 29 points. They have scored, they've averaged, in the 7 games Drew Brees has started at home, they've averaged 37 points a game, and that includes a 21-point game against the Browns. I think we forget about the Saints offense because they had that 3-game road stretch where they played Dallas, they played the Panthers, and they played the Bucks. I'm not sure the back end is in the right order, but you know they scored what 10 and 12 and 25, I think. So we look at that 3-game stretch where they didn't play at home for a month and say to ourselves, well, this is what the Saints are, but they're not. They came home and scored 31 against the Steelers, and I just think they're going to score a lot of points, especially with the Eagles' secondary. So I don't know if the Eagles can keep up. I think Foles is a great story, obviously. But it feels like it might come to an end this weekend.
Last thing for you, Jeff Schwartz, Action Network. They released the TV ratings from the first week of the playoffs, and they're way up. One of the games was up 29% from the time slot from last year. Is this because people – they're not talking about the anthem anymore? Is this because more people are betting legally? Is this – because of a variety of reasons, why are these games up so much from last year?
Well, we have better competition, I think, is one thing, right? I forget. I mean, the first game last year was Chiefs Titans. I want to say, right? And that ESPN slot. We also have the Cowboys on this year as well, which is very helpful. I do think there's a little bit of the anthem. Not the anthem talk is not being around, even though. I say this quite often. I think that was often exaggerated how much that was actually discussed. But I do think that's a part of it. And obviously the NFL is doing well. They're doing something right. But I think it's also that the matchups, teams are healthy. The matchups are exciting. The races are wide open this year, it feels like. And I do think there was some fatigue last year with the anthem. And I'll tell you what, the league and the TV partners made an effort this year to not talk about it. I think that was good for business. I know people might be upset about that, but the popularity of the NFL took a hit when this was being discussed. And obviously, even with Eric Reed coming back this year and suing the NFL and whatnot, it just wasn't discussed. I think that was the smart way to go for the TV partners.
All right, I'll just rip up my LA parlay ticket right now. So thank you, Jeff.
It's a very square parlay, but go ahead and do you, buddy.
I know. I'm just looking for a winner. The last thing that I hit on were Steelers and Saints over, which hit a couple weeks ago. And I
basically stopped betting parlays, man. I mean, it just when I had a Pac-12 parlay, the bowl games had Oregon, Stanford, and Utah. And Utah was up 20-3 and lost 31-20. I just was like, I'm done with this. I'm not doing this again.
Well, that's because you guys should have let Utah in the Pac-12 anyway.
They've been her best bowl team for the last 5 years. They were 11-1 in bowls heading into the Northwestern game.
We know all about that. Alex Smith threw for about 700 yards against Pitt in a bowl game in the first half one time. So,
there you go.
Jeff Schwartz, Action Network. Thank you, Jeff. We'll chat again soon.
All right, bud.
Yep.
See you.
Oh man.
You're just raining on your parade.
I know. It is a very square parlay. I just want to try to catch a winner if I could. He does make a good point about betting, though. If the underdogs are just flat winning, so go ahead and bet him. Just bet him to win. But that spread of 8 in that last playoff game of the week is really interesting number.
Yeah, Philly
and
New
Orleans.
Happens here. Well, we have to make the pick.
We do. Philly can't go to New Orleans and win, can they? Not with their quarterback situation and.
That's the thing. That's the thing is their quarterback situation.
I know, but it's bound to run out at some point.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.